kind and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
How late is the train from Belhaven?
23 minutes, sir. It's just arrived.
Oh, Lord, I've missed her.
Why, hello, Tony.
Kate, where on earth did you come from?
I came up from the platform and saw you standing here.
I've been waiting by the gate.
For me?
Who else?
How did you know I was on that train?
My secretary called Belhaven and Mrs. Jessup told her.
Tony, I've got to go straight to the office.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do. I was supposed to be in at 9 this morning and I'm roughly 6 hours late. But I had a few problems.
Must have been serious.
No, they just took time. Well, Tony, it was great of you to come meet me, but I really have...
I haven't waited here a half hour to put you in a cab, lady.
Tony, I must go to my job.
Okay, okay, in an hour.
That'll be too late. Mr. Ross has been very kind about my taking days off.
He hasn't got enough business there these days to keep the pencils sharpened.
And he may not need an agent who arrives at the office in mid-afternoon. When do you go back to Paris?
Well, that's a great question.
I was supposed
to go yesterday. I stayed over to see you. I'm booked on the 9 o'clock plane tonight, but I'll stay another day if...
Tony, you mustn't.
Well, it's up to you. Do I see you today or don't I?
I thought we were going to cool this a little bit, Tony.
That was your idea, darling.
It still is. You have a divorce to get, and I have some personal business to attend to.
Well, are we going to stand here and debate it? Come on, I'll take you over to Lafitte's and buy you a double chocolate mousse.
Tony, I'm sorry.
Okay, okay. What do you want to do?
I don't want to, but I have to. I'm going to the office. And you have to get on that plane tonight.
Okay, I'll make a deal. Will you drive out to the airport with me and have dinner? I'll send you back by limousine.
All right. But I want to be home by 9:30.
Mm-hmm. Got a date?
No. Just an awful lot to do.
You know... I'd love to take you to Paris with me tonight.
Wouldn't I like to go?
Oh, darling. Okay. Pick you up at 5 at the office.
Oh, Tony, make it 6. I've got a lot to do. Hi, Jude.
Hey! Well, the prodigal daughter returns to the office.
Oh, I had to get a late train, and it was nearly half an hour late.
I heard on the radio that snow is blowing in from the north.
We got it in Belhaven. Is Mr. Ross in?
No, he's left for the day.
Oh, will he be in tomorrow?
Oh, I guess so. It depresses him to sit in that office when business isn't good, so he's in and out.
Can I reach him at home?
He doesn't stay home. He goes around, looks at buildings, talks to landlords to keep busy.
Oh, well, I'll make an appointment with him.
You won't have any trouble.
June, do you remember showing me that book on the big estates in different parts of the world that the Ross Agency is trying to sell? With all the pictures and everything?
Have you got a customer?
No, but I'd like to see that book again.
It's right there on the shelf. No, it isn't.
That's why I asked you. I didn't see it there.
I wonder who's been looking at it. As if I didn't know. Just a minute, Kate. Hello, Margie? Have you got our book of A listings? You know, the big estates out of the country? Mr. Ross has it? Did he take it with him? Oh, thanks.
Mr. Ross has it with him?
No, Mr. Ross had it and put it back. And when he puts anything back in this office, it's never where anybody else can find it. What did you want to see in it, Kate?
Oh, a place I looked at before. The name struck me. The location did. Glory Point in Jamaica.
Oh, that place. That'll never be sold any.
Why not?
It belongs to an old lady, a Miss Ellen Pomeroy, and a nephew, Louis Pomeroy. She wants to sell it, and he doesn't. I don't know why Mr. Ross keeps it listed.
Is it worth a lot?
If you think $500,000 is a lot.
For one house?
Oh, it's more than one house. It's a very old plantation. Been in the same family for nearly 3 centuries.
Pomeroy. You know, I met a man named Pomeroy last fall at a party. Eric Pomeroy.
Not a very common name.
Wonder if it could be the same family.
I don't know about that, but I do know there's something a little odd about the family at Glory Point. Here's that book on Nora's desk. I tell you, Mr. Ross drops things anywhere. His wife must have a terrible time. There you are, Kate.
Oh, thanks, Jim.
getting late. You want to take it home with you?
Nope. I just want to look at it right here now. Let's see. J, Jamaica. Here we are. It's the only place listed in Jamaica. Glory Point, page 83. Ah, there it is. Glory Hall. Look at it.
I think that picture's prettied up.
What do you mean?
I understand they don't keep it up like they used to. Keeps it from being sold.
But what a house. Looks like one of those stately homes of England. Solid stone construction, outbuildings, stables, cattle barn, greenhouse, potting shed, short walk to Glory Point. Oh, well, then it isn't on the water.
I guess not.
Well, no wonder I never saw it.
Have you been down there, Kate?
Oh, you remember I told you, June, that my husband and I did a lot of sailing down in the Caribbean. We used to go past Glory Point.
And you didn't know the big house was there?
No, I didn't know it. Excuse me, June, I want to make a telephone call. Re-establish my acquaintance with a certain Mr. Pomeroy.
Message you wanted to see me, Hugh.
Come in, Tony. Close the door.
I haven't got much time.
Neither have I. I tried to reach you after
I was out.
Until 3:30.
I was meeting a train. It was late. What's on your mind?
A lot of things, but I can boil them down to one. You leaving for Paris tonight?
Yes, sir.
And it's set. No backing or changing.
I'm going. Just don't tell me I'm to stay 2 weeks this time.
You're staying as long as the job
takes. It's wrapped up, Hugh. Anything else I could do by telephone, and you damn well know it.
I've built this business on personal contact, and you know that. If you don't want to go over and talk to our Greek associates, I'll do it myself. But then, that doesn't leave you with much to do around here, does it?
I get it. But I think you're wrong, Hugh. You need me.
Tony, what's happened?
We're showing a 22% profit this year. What do you mean, what's happened?
We're not working together the way we used to. I don't like giving tough orders, and I don't like the way you react to them.
How is that, you?
You know what I mean. We were a good team. We saw things alike. Business came first, and it worked.
Sure it worked, until you began interfering in my personal life.
You mean Claire.
Oh, come on. Claire hasn't been a part of my personal life for 4 years. You enjoy her company? That's fine. I wish to God you'd marry her.
Oh, you've got to be crazy.
Have it your way. But leave my personal life alone.
Meaning Mrs. Wakefield.
Meaning Mrs. Wakefield, whom you don't know.
But I do know her past. You'll get to Paris, Tony, and stay until I tell you to come home. Where cutting down expense accounts and commuting to Paris is out.
See you, you.
Bon voyage.
Mr. Cushing, your secretary's left. I took a telephone message for you.
Oh, thanks.
Mrs. Wakefield left word that she can't go to the airport with you this evening.
Hello, Kate Wakefield.
Eric Pomeroy, aren't you nice to meet me? I only wanted a short appointment with you at your office.
Well, I'm leaving town for a week tomorrow, so this seemed like a good solution. Thank you, Lady Luck.
I didn't think you'd even remember me.
Remember you? At the Benson party? You glowed like a candle.
I'd like to forget that party. Eric, I need some information.
If I have it.
Well, it's about a family in Jamaica named Pomeroy. They live on Glory Point. I just wondered if you were any relation.
Where did you get hold of that?
I saw the name. I'm going down there.
Why?
I have to.
I have no information, only some advice.
What?
Leave the Pomeroys alone, Kate.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays, and Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays, averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day. The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On, why settle for less?
If I had a nickel for every minute I spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Faces of Love features Morgan Fairchild as Kate Wakefield and Allison Argo as Nancy Reed. Also appearing were Mason Adams, Guy Repp, Hal Studer, Nat Polin, Vicki Thomas, and Jack Naughton. Produced by Ernie Ricca, directed by Dick Cox, written by Margaret LaWorth, and brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This is Mel Brandt. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.
Good day, dear listeners. William Makepeace Thackeray here, author of this narrative. Have you noted of late how swift are the changes in Vanity Fair? The day before yesterday, Becky Sharp and Rawdon disowned and turned out of Matilda Crawley's house. Yesterday, Becky and Rawdon renting a fairy tale cottage to dwell in together. Today, Becky and Rawdon established in that cottage, sitting at this moment by a cozy fire, tea kettle on the hob. Rawdon, that veteran rake, seems already converted into a happy and submissive married man. Ah, but more changes are yet to come, as I do believe Becky is saying now.
My dearest, more changes are yet to come.
What changes? Don't want any. That is, until Auntie takes us back. Like things the way they are. What changes?
People, persons, friends. We must have friends should Auntie never be reconciled.
Well, look here, Becky. I'm not allowed to say she mightn't, but you said it.
Well, I meant to say until she's reconciled.
You think she mightn't, don't you? Confess it.
I think no such thing. I do think, and didn't before, that it may take time. A month, 2 months, three. I used to think one day, two, three.
Dad, what will we live on?
Credit, mostly, but it's why we'll need friends.
You're talking of my brother again.
Young Pitt is one, yes. We'll start with him. Write a letter.
Dear heart, I told you he'd not give us or even so much as lend us a halfpenny bit.
And I told you one never knows. I'm sure young Pitt has softened a little. How else could he have proposed to Lady Sheepshanks? Such a clammy cold stick when I knew him at Queen's Crawley. Oh, he must have softened for Lady Jane to accept.
So you may be right. Always are. Very well. I'll write a note, ask him to call.
Oh, darling, no.
No?
The two of you don't even speak, have not since college. He'd light his cigar with your note if he smoked wicked cigars, which, of course, he doesn't.
Well, my dove, what am I to do then?
Nothing.
But you said nothing?
I shall write. In fact, have. See? Here in my pocket. All the letter wants is your approval.
Approve anything you do, you know that.
Oh, perhaps not this. I had to write a certain way, else he never would come.
Read it me.
First, will I pour you another cup of tea?
Aye, thank you, not yet. Read.
Dear Mr. Pitt. Now, Rawdon, you're not to laugh. Tis a dreadful, embarrassing letter.
Read.
Dear Mr. Pitt. Pray do not think me bold to address you, a personage of your dignity and importance. And I will not read another word.
No, do, my angel. Marvelous. Read.
You laugh. One more time and I stop.
Now, you do know why I write like that, don't you?
Do I know my brother? Egad, what a pious, conceited boy.
What? How can you say so? I admire him beyond measure, a man of rigid refinement and manners. When he speaks or writes his pamphlets, what a fine flux of words. He never advanced a sentiment or opinion that wasn't perfectly stale and trite.
Yet you want him to come here.
Oh, well, don't blame me. Blame Aunt Matilda. Well, no, no. I shall speak the whole truth. I married you only so I would have young Pitt as my brother-in-law.
read on.
A personage of your dignity and importance.
Mm.
I dare take this liberty because I have an announcement of great consequence. I am, dear Mr. Pitt, your sister-in-law.
That'll spin him about.
Well, she liked me, darling. He did, though. I doubt you'll be aught but scandalized that I married this rogue of a brother. Mm. So I quickly write something that will please him no end. Your Aunt Matilda has disowned us. I hope and pray you will not do the same. As I often remind Rawdon, of what importance is money compared to the state of our souls?
Oh, dear, dear, dear. I greatly fear the state of Becky's soul may be as poor as her purse. Oh, we shall get on with that letter shortly. Linger, please. I'll join you again in the twinkling of an eye.
I know we share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This is your cold, dear. You sneeze first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we'll save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You mean all the colds you give me?
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Well done, Becky. Well done. That bit about the state of one's soul, for shame.
I was exactly quoting young Pitt. I remember the very day he said it.
What importance is money, Miss Sharp, compared to the state of our soul?
Oh, that voice!
You are my soul's darling, and what a sly, artful one you are.
No doubt you're now quoting Mrs. Bute to Aunt Matilda.
Read.
Oh, no, it gets worse. Here, read it yourself. Then we'll send it by Giles or Fritz to... do you know where young Pitt stays in London? Oh, please, no.
At the Quashimabu Society House, but he may be back at Queen's Crawley. Me out of the way, Aunt Matilda not there to insult him about his preachifying, may well have gone back.
Well, Sir Pitt didn't say so the other night.
Papa said nothing except to damn me to hell's flame.
Ah, well, we can but try the Quashimabu House.
Becky, what's this? You say you hope we can hear him debate the Quashimabu Society?
Dearest, I have said everything he would want me to say.
Well, hang it all, we may have to go.
It would be so horrible, it may be amusing. Oh, and I told him I'd given up the godless amusement he objected to at Queen's Crawley.
Which one? He abhors any amusement.
I recollect exactly what he said when he took me to town.
Backgammon, Miss Sharp. A godless amusement. He would be much better engaged reading uplifting literature. One of my traps. Pray do not waste your life in foolish pastime.
Rawdon, my love, I've given up backgammon because you don't play it. Though I somehow failed to mention that to your brother. Now, read, just below.
Dear Mr. Pitt, I do long to speak French with you again. Do you?
No! Son accent, quelle horreur!
What?
His accent, his pronunciation was so terrible.
What's this?
Well, read it.
Pray do come to see us so I may once again be awakened by your words. How well I recall your discourses at Queen's Crawley. I admired them beyond measure. Ugh.
Your respectful, obedient, admiring sister-in-law, Rebecca Sharp Crawley. Now, call Fritz. Send it on its way.
Fritz? Come and deliver a letter. A love letter, by damn.
A Beg pardon, Mr. Pett.
Thrump, you've ordered not to interrupt when I'm writing. Be off.
But, sir...
Important, I suppose. Nothing more important than writing a devotional tract.
Letter, sir.
Why did you not say so? From Lady Sheepshanks, is it?
I believe not, sir.
Then not important. Be about your business.
Marked urgent.
Oh, put it just there. Anything to be rid of you.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir.
Lost my train of thought. Oh, very well. The letter. Dear Mr. Pitt, pray do not remember. I am your sister-in-law. Rawdon? Married? Who wrote this? Rebecca Sharp Crawley? Bless my soul. Your Aunt Matilda. Ah. Disowned. I pray you will bring with you tracts you have written on the subject of marriage. Wants to hear me debate? Speak French with her? Awakened by my words? Very wise young woman. Wise and marry that scoundrel, my brother? Ah, well, remembers my discourses? Admired them beyond measure?
Your respectful, obedient, admiring sister-in-law, Rebecca Sharp Crawley.
Well, 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 well.
Think you, ladies and gentlemen, that young Pitt will not call upon Captain and Mrs. Crawley? If so, you are right. He will not call upon Captain Crawley, but upon... Need I finish? I will, however, quote her. I am your respectful, obedient, admiring servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name and address and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only, expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back. The Author's Studio has been brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Hello. You don't know how good it is to be home.
Let me take your coat.
Thanks, honey. Oh, yeah, it's not my coat. Well, that's the story. Wait till I tell you.
Looks like your coat.
That's the problem. I tell you, I have had the worst 24 hours.
Oh, honey, have you? Well, we have some things to tell you, too. It's been a pretty lively 24 hours around here. But you tell us about you first.
Oh, come on in the den, Daddy. I just built a fire.
Oh, say, that looks cozy. Oh, my golly, it's good to be home. Nothing like home, huh?
After just one day, you're glad to be home?
Listen, I get homesick the minute I start out on a business trip. I can't wait to get home every day at the office.
Oh, that's nice. Well, just what happened?
Well, first of all, the weather was terrible.
I know.
You were so right. Just driving to the airport, I felt like Perry discovering the North Pole. We could hardly see 20 feet in front of the car.
Really? Did the plane take off for Chicago on schedule?
No. That started.
Oh, dear.
They announced there'd be a half-hour delay, so, well, I was with Joe Rutger, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Joe and I decided to get a sandwich and some coffee. Of course, we no sooner got the sandwich and the coffee when they suddenly announced the plane was ready for departure.
Come on, it never fails.
So we jumped out.
What kind of a sandwich did you get?
What? Oh, I don't know. What difference does it make? You always ask the most peculiar questions. Well, I got a ham and Swiss cheese on rye, and Joe got a tuna fish, okay?
Yes, I'm sorry. Go on. Sure.
Mom always wants to know what people had to eat.
Well, because most of my life revolves around food, I guess. Go on, dear.
Well, anyway, Joe and I jumped up. He paid the check while I raced to get my coat. I grabbed that, and we went tearing off to the departure gate. And just barely got on the plane, which was the worst trip I have ever had. Bumpy. Wow.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Daddy, were you scared?
Certainly I was scared, and darn glad when we got to Chicago. But it wasn't until we got to the hotel room. No, it was before that.
Mm-hmm.
I went to put my gloves on. We were trying to get a taxi to the hotel, and I discovered I had no gloves.
Why, you had gloves when you left here.
You are always losing your gloves, or at least one of them.
That's true, but this time both were gone.
Oh, not the new fur-lined gloves you got for Christmas.
Right. I was so mad at myself. Yeah. I couldn't think where I left them. Well, anyhow, we got to the hotel, and I decided to take everything out of my coat pocket. Even my scarf was gone, and suddenly I found these car keys.
Yep.
But not Joe's car keys, which he had handed to me when we left his car at the airport parking lot.
Yep.
I was supposed to drive his car back here tonight.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Whose car keys were they?
They belonged to the man whose coat I had taken by mistake.
Oh, no. Well, what happened? What do you mean?
At the airport at Bradley when we left, apparently, I grabbed this coat from the rack and it looked just like mine.
So somebody must have taken yours.
Yeah, right. And before I took his, because there are only three other coats on that rack, and not at all like mine. So there I was in Chicago with a coat that didn't belong to me and some other guy's car keys.
Meaning somewhere there's a man with your coat and Joe's car keys.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
Which sort of upset Joe, too.
Yeah.
This morning we had our business meeting and the guy we were supposed to see was home, sick with the flu.
Oh. So your whole trip was wasted?
Whole trip was wasted.
Oh, really?
Joe and I had lunch and somewhere between going from lunch back through the lobby up to his room, Joe had his wallet stolen.
But he was going on to Japan. Did he have his passport?
No, thank heavens. But it left him without any money and his credit cards and his driver's license, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I gave him what cash I had, which wasn't much, and tomorrow I'll have the company wire money to Japan.
Yeah, what'd you have for lunch?
Huh? London broil. Well, anyway, when I got back here to the airport today, here I was without Joe's car keys, so I had to rent a car to drive home.
What are you going to do about Joe's car, I mean?
Well, tomorrow I'll see if Mrs. Rutger knows where he keeps an extra set of car keys and sends somebody to the airport to pick it up.
Well, what about the other man, Daddy, the man who has your coat?
I don't know who he is. The coat's just like mine, except that he got it at some clothing store in Boston. He must be going crazy since he has no car keys for his car.
Well, it's his fault since he took your coat first.
Why didn't you talk to the people in the parking lot, show them which car was Joe's, and maybe they could have started it without the keys? Men do that sometimes. They switch the wires
honey, or something. The man at the parking lot wasn't going to let me take a car when I had no keys and not even the parking ticket. He was no help at all.
No, I suppose not. Well, you have had a wicked 24 hours.
How do these things happen?
Well, they do. Seems to be the story of our life, as they say. Well, you want to hear our news?
Is it good or bad?
Well, a little bit of both and some in between.
Well, I don't feel much like hearing any bad news.
Well, why don't I get dinner on, and then we'll tell you everything. In the meantime, you just relax. Debbie, set the table, and I'll finish broiling the lamb chops and mashing the potatoes.
Okay, Mom, I'll mash the potatoes.
Oh, good.
And I'll make a salad, too.
Well, thank you, Debbie.
Okay.
Here, Mr. Baxter, dear, you can relax and do the crossword puzzle, which you love.
The crossword
puzzle? Yes, it is.
Well, what about Aunt Maggie? How come she hasn't grabbed it already? Hey, wait a minute. Where is she, anyhow?
Well, that's part of our news. She went back to Montana.
Went back to Montana?
Yeah.
Aunt Maggie's gone?
Well.
How come? Why?
Well, we'll tell you all about it later, and I do the crossword puzzle. They're your crossword, the first chance you've had since Aunt Maggie came to visit 3 months ago.
She's gone? Aunt Maggie's gone?
Well, you hated the way she always did your crossword puzzle. Now it's yours. Work on it now, dear, while we get dinner on.
Somehow the fun of doing it is gone. Why did she leave?
I got the lamb chops just the way you like them, dear. A little bit burned. How do they look?
Oh, fine. I'm waiting to hear why Aunt Maggie left us.
And some salad, Daddy. I fixed your favorite dressing.
Thanks, Debbie. Why did Aunt Maggie leave?
Well, dear, she had a chance to rent her house, and the people want to move in like yesterday. They want it furnished, and Aunt Maggie had certain things she wanted to put away in the attic.
Oh, she's coming back then.
Oh, yeah. But the rental agent called last night, said the people wanted to move in so soon, and Aunt Maggie figured she'd better fly back home quickly. So Elaine Wittig drove her to the airport this morning because I had a dental appointment. It's taken me a month to get.
Well, that was nice of Elaine.
Yeah, well, she wanted to go shopping in Springfield anyway.
As long as Aunt Maggie's coming back, that's not such bad news.
No, not at all. The bad news is that the furnace man was back today, and something is wrong with the furnace, and he thinks we may need a new furnace. He can't get some part or something because our furnace is so old.
Remember when the people sold this house to us, they assured us how new the furnace was?
Yeah, well, it's not apparently. It's very old. The furnace man thinks we can get through the winter, but it's a problem we'll have to solve this summer.
Solving it by getting a new furnace, I suppose.
Well, you talk to him. I don't really know about these things. As for the local news, the Hilton's house burned down. The Kinwinnies are getting a divorce, or at least he's getting one, I imagine, since she ran off with our milkman.
What?
With 8 children. Can you believe it?
You're kidding.
No. Well, then, this is bad news. Mr. Crippen's mother had a heart attack. She was rushed to the hospital at 3 this morning, but she's all right. So it's good news so far. George Gailey drove his snowmobile across the lake with 3 children following him, and they all broke through the ice.
Good Lord.
Well, they were all safe, thank heavens. It's a miracle, you know, because they were, you know, frozen stiff. They were so cold.
And Daddy? My boyfriend has a new girl.
Oh, honey.
I don't care. I was getting bored with Clark anyway, really.
Look, I've only been gone 24 hours. Nothing happens when I'm home. How come all this news in such a short time?
I don't know, dear. It's the way it always happens, isn't it?
Well, we saved the best until last, Daddy.
Yeah.
This is good news.
Great. What is it?
Tom's coming home.
Tom's coming home? I thought he was on some archaeological dig in the Middle East. He's coming home?
Debbie and I don't know any more about it than you do. We just got this cable. Happy New Year, coming home, bringing a surprise. Love, Tom. 10 words. Our son was always a boy, a few words.
What's a surprise?
I don't know.
What could it be?
Well, Mom thinks it's some animal. You know how Tom loves animals.
Well, he was in Tibet, but I doubt that he's bringing home an abominable snowman. But he did bring a boa constrictor from Brazil. Remember that, Tom?
I think he's married.
Oh.
He's bringing home a new wife.
Where's he been besides Tibet in the Middle East?
Africa, Kenya, the Congo, Ethiopia, Saudi Arabia.
Well, when is he arriving?
Next week, Daddy.
And then we'll know, huh?
Well, if he has married somebody who doesn't speak English, you know, just Hindu or Arabic or Swahili, and who doesn't cook, and he doesn't have a job, and they expect to live here, and we have to support them.
Yes.
Well, we'll have to face it. I mean, that's my good news.
Okay, we'll face it. In the meantime, I want to know who has my new coat, how I can find the man who took my coat and left me with his. Oh, how can life get so complicated in 24 hours?
Well, apparently, dear, very easily. Life, happily, is full of surprises.
I'd always share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This was your cold, dear. You sneezed first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought 4-Way Nasal Spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than 4-Way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought 4-Way for me, too. And think how much we'll save on 4-Way with all the colds you get.
You beat all the colds you give me.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. but I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by the O'Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
You've hardly touched your lunch.
I wasn't very hungry, Caroline. Well, if you're going to get well, you do have to take care of yourself.
Yes, I know.
Emily?
How are you feeling?
Well, I have good days, and then there are the bad ones. Is there anything I can do to help?
No, but I appreciate your wanting to.
What kind of treatment?
Nothing. I'm taking medication, which helps me with the headaches.
You mean there's nothing?
Caroline, don't look so stricken. I can go on like this for years.
You're so calm about it.
Well, I'm not really. It's just that, well, now that the shock is over, the idea is sort of settling in.
Oh, Emily.
Please, Caroline. Now, come on. We're spoiling a lovely lunch.
I don't know what to say.
No one does. In some ways, that's the hardest part. A brain tumor. At a time when life has become more important than ever. I have become the bringer of bad news.
Oh, Emily.
I see it in Jason, Caroline. Although he's marvelous. And Angela looks almost haunted.
Why, of course. It's hard on your sister.
Well, that's what I mean. I wish somehow we could all face it together without it becoming such a dark presence in our lives.
But we can't help caring for you.
Well, then we all have to find a way to live with it. I have to. We all have to.
Well, Emily, they're discovering things all the time.
Of course they are. The medication is a miracle in itself. It keeps me going. Look, that's enough of that. Tell me, what do you hear about Lynn and Kurt?
Oh, well, just a postcard that they've arrived.
Well, what does Kurt expect to find in the way of work at Aspen?
I don't know whether he's really looking for something or whether he felt he had to get away from River Run and Robert's disapproving eyes.
You know, you haven't said a word about your clinic. How's it going, Caroline?
Oh, I'm seeing Joe Gonzalez this afternoon. I think he'll say yes, but I'm not really sure.
I'd say yes, but I'm not really sure I'm ready to take on a clinic like that, Jason.
Well, Joe, most opportunities come along before we're really ready for them.
But to be responsible for a project as big as what your stepmother has in mind...
Well, I admit Caroline can get involved.
Involved? Have you seen this preliminary prospectus?
Yes, she sent me a copy.
What do you think?
Well, Joe, it's a lot larger than when she first proposed the idea.
It's tremendous. I'm not sure I'm up to the size of it.
Well, a good children's clinic in the area, she suggested, is certainly needed, Joe.
I know.
And she said she's going ahead whether you accept her offer or not.
Well, at least that takes some of the load off.
Joe, we don't want you to leave Jefferson, of course, but I'd be less than honest if I didn't urge you to accept it, however. But it's up to you.
There is something else.
And?
Yes.
Joe, I'll admit it's a complication. As Caroline's daughter, well, have you discussed it with her?
No. I know she's in favor of it, but I don't feel I can ask her to help me decide. That has to be my decision.
Well, what's wrong with at least talking to her about it?
You know, Anne's a very strong-minded woman.
Oh, yes, yes. You know, when Dad married Caroline and Anne joined Lynn and me in the family, well, there were a few sparks, but we all survived.
I wish Anne weren't her mother's daughter. It might make my decision a little easier.
Joe, since you became involved in the Carter family, life became somewhat complicated, huh?
Yes, ever since I met your wife here at Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
How is she?
But she's all right, Joe.
Yes, I understand.
Thanks. I know you do.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Banrolon antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Banrolon antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Banrolon and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Banrolon antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Do you know where Dr. Gonzalez is, Angela?
I saw him leave Dr. Carter's office a few minutes ago, Trish. Why?
Someone's waiting for him downstairs. Mrs. Robert Carter.
Okay, fine. She wants to see Joe? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know something?
You mean I know something you don't know?
Yes, and it's killing me.
You'll survive.
No thanks to you. Hello, nurse's station, fourth floor.
Trish, is Angela there?
Yes, she is, Dr. Carter.
Ask her to come in.
Yes, doctor. He wants to see you in his office.
Well, that's where I'll be.
Well, come on in, Angela. Sit down, will you?
Is anything the matter, Jason?
No, no. At least, nothing new. No, that's not true.
Jason, maybe you should...
Angela, did Marsh talk to you?
Yes, he did.
Oh.
And I have been thinking about what he said.
Yes, well, I should have asked you myself, Angela. We've never needed a go-between.
Things are different now. Not that we need a go-between, of course.
Well, I can't see why Emily's illness should cause a problem between you and me, Angela. If anything...
I know, Jason. And I'm worried about Emily, too. It's got nothing to do with you.
Excuse me.
Sure.
Dr. Carter. Oh, yes. Well, tell him I'm not able to make the meeting. Oh, he did. Well, give him enough rope. Yes. Yes, I know it's on my calendar, but...
That was in my dream.
When you say something else...
Jason wanted me to walk up the pass with him.
I see.
He kept calling me Emily.
Well, look, I...
But Emily was the top.
So I'll know what happened.
It was a mountain.
Yes, I understand.
It was cold, and he wanted to give me his coat.
The board will have my report.
I said give it to Emily.
And any questions? Well, I'll answer them at the next meeting. Okay, fine. Oh, if we could just cut down on committee meetings. Hey, what's the matter, Angela?
Oh, nothing, Jason. I suddenly remembered a dream that I had recently.
Oh? Anything significant?
I don't know. You and Emily and I were on the top of a mountain. Well, it was just a dream.
Oh. Angela, last night, Susie asked me why Emily isn't driving the car anymore.
What did you tell her?
Nothing. Nothing, just that... Emily had a coordination problem. It's a lousy excuse.
Yes.
Angela, if there's anything bothering you, please... Please don't shut me out. We've been through too much together.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Carter.
Hello, Joe. I haven't been here on the nursery floor since Jennifer was born.
It's one of the happier areas in the hospital.
Yes. Do you think I'm taking unfair advantage?
In having me meet you here?
Mm-hmm.
Why should I think that?
It really is what the clinic is about, though, isn't it, Dr. Gonzalez?
Yes, but it isn't necessary for you to do this.
I know. You'll make up your own mind. But they are important, aren't they?
There is no argument about it. As to whether I'm the right man...
Well, as long as you keep an open mind.
There are other clinics that would use your, could use your support. You don't need to go to all the work of establishing a new one. Why do you feel you must?
I don't know. Maybe gardening isn't enough.
What do you mean?
Doctor, I love my garden, and it's a pleasure to see it flourish and grow. Both plants and children get their starts in a nursery, but I'd like to do all I can to help this kind of a nursery. A children's clinic. Do the important work in helping children to flourish.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in the 100 or 250 tablet size and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735. And get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back. To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.